Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This podcast is part of the Neverland Network, where faith meets video games, movies, and fun. Find more shows like this at neverlandpodcast.com.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, indeedy, this is me, your Spider-Pan, back again with some super, super fun. And I do not say that lightly because we are going to celebrate Superman today with the release of a new film and, of course, all kinds of history. We're going to dedicate some time to the great Jim Shooter. But if I'm going to talk Superman, I'll tell you what, I got to grab the super fan. And so guess who's with me? It's Pastor Lost Boy Philip.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going great, isn't it?
I am a super fan, that's for sure. I love Superman. He's my favorite.
And we're going to test you just to see how much of a fan you really are.
Yeah, I might fail. I'm not going to promise.
It's possible. But I think a lot of these questions were super easy. But maybe we're going to trip you up a little bit. But I have some trivia questions for you.
Oh.
Before we get into some history of Superman. And then we'll go and discuss what our thoughts on the new film.
Good.
And I have right here in front of me a Superman and Crypto figure from the McFarlane DC Multiverse. It is the deluxe theatrical edition.
Yes.
David Corenswent. Yeah. Version of Superman, and it has a Crypto figure with it.
Yes, I love it.
And when I bought it, I says, okay, I'm not going to open it unless I like the movie, because I wouldn't want to have it if I end up not liking the movie. So I'm going to have this here with my knife ready to cut it open if I've liked the movie, which we'll find out later in the show if I like the movie. I can give you all a hint of probably where I was going with this. I mean, if anybody follows me on Facebook, I've been pretty excited for this movie. And I even texted when I sent a picture of it when I bought it. I sent a text over to Philip saying, yeah, I'm not going to open in case I don't like the movie, LOL. I was pretty sure I was going to like the movie. So, but did I? We'll find out later.
We'll find out today.
But before we do that, you know, we like to do some of our little fun, just kind of talking about what would go on the week. What have you been watching? And Philip, you were telling me you were watching, you've been psyching yourself up and been watching like the old Batman animated series, Superman, Justice League.
I still watch some Batman the animated series. I can never get enough of that. That's one of the things that I've watched since the beginning, especially the original 1992 episodes, which was about three seasons. I like the other ones too, but I didn't like some of the stylization that they put on it. Some of it I thought was okay and kind of interesting, but some of it, they changed Killer Croc and all that. I won't get into all the nerdy stuff of that. But
and I don't like that they have figures out of that set.
Yeah.
And I would like to get a figure of how they looked when they started this series.
They are bringing some of those out, but they're going to be the expensive
of course
kind, you know, 6-inch, 7-inch, what you want to call it, because sometimes they go up by an inch wide. I don't know. But
I wouldn't mind a big, tall figure that looks like an original Batman.
They are making a Killer Croc coming out very soon, and it in the gray, not the green, as it was later on, and he looked a little more square in certain parts of him and sharp and all, instead of I don't know. I just like the original, and that's what they're doing. But I like the original. That's what the new figures are. They're the original 92. That's what I was hoping for whenever Superman the Animated Series came out.
Yeah.
And instead, it had changed a bit, but I still love it. And so I went to Superman the Animated Series. I finished all those in about a week and a half. I'm still working on Batman when I'm needing to relax, because I just love it. Anyway, then right now I'm working on, just started yesterday, on Justice League. I've never watched every single one, almost all of them, but never chronologically. Because back when it was on, I was working, and I worked at nights and then days and night, and I never had a basically. And I'm
that little Justice League cartoon, like the one from like the late 90s. It was cool because it introduced me. I think I was somewhat familiar with Martian Manhunter, but it gave you a good introduction to Martian Manhunter in those first episodes.
And I already knew the characters pretty well. But the music itself just gets me excited, especially in the middle of it.
Yeah, no, that's the Superman.
No, yeah, but right in the middle of it, it's got this great theme, and it's I just love how they do it.
Yeah,
it's really great, and but the animation's amazing.
Yeah,
and they had to change Superman voices. Because Tim Daly,
George Newbern,
who you may know from lots of movies, Adventures of Babysitting,
Father of the Bride,
and
also known as the voice of Sephiroth.
Occasionally,
not in the current games, but I think he's done some Kingdom Hearts games, and he did the animated movie that Japan sent over. He was the voice of Sephiroth.
He did a lot of stuff
because he's got that great voice
in the 80s. Like I said, Adventures of Babysitting, he was kind of the
I've seen him at a convention,
he's a nice guy, I like him. I liked him a lot of things when I was young. So when I heard he was doing Superman's voice, I was like, man, that's perfect.
I think he did the Injustice games, now that I think about it.
One thing I liked recently is they had all the different Supermans who are still with us, of course, come together, and they included him and Tim Daly. And I'm like, that's right, man. They should be there, too, because
Tim Daly was a great Superman.
For a whole generation,
they
were a part of it. You know, I like that. They should be.
And Tim Daly as Superman.
Because they also used to include... boy, all of a sudden, like, you got to understand, I've gone through a lot of brain surgeries. My mind goes weird. I can't remember.
Your mind was weird before, too.
Oh, thank you. No, but I can't remember Batman's voice all of a sudden.
Kevin Conroy.
That is Batman to me. Yeah. Every time I hear of Batman, I think of Kevin Conroy, who's a little bit based off Michael Keaton. So we got to give him.
Yeah.
We got to give him kudos to that, because that was the first Batman that we heard who went like this.
Who did it, dropped his voice
down.
Because Bruce Wayne was up here and then Batman was down here.
And
as Kevin Conroy, I saw him talk about when he's was doing Mask of the Phantasm. There was an HBO making up.
He says,
like, Batman's in the darker corners of a man's mind down here.
And you can even kind of give a little credit. I'm not saying this. They Michael Keaton was trying to be like Christopher Reeve, but Christopher Reeve in his Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Did a little changing with the voice.
Oh, yeah.
And they do that in the new one a little bit. Not a lot, but a little. And
you don't get to see a lot of Reporter Clark.
No.
Except for like one scene, really.
A couple of little things. And that's but you don't really need to too awful much. But
we get to have a Superman adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Comic book style.
Yeah. It's like,
issue to issue. We'll wait.
Yeah.
We'll wait to get into that new part.
Yeah. Jump ahead. No, but so I've been watching a lot of that and not doing much else. It's one of those things. I'm drawing. That's right.
Okay. And I'm not going to get into what I'm watching because I haven't really been watching anything significant. Although I don't remember if I mentioned this before on YouTube. We found this thing. Y'all just look this up. Minuscule. It's this French made. Disney has worked with them.
Huh.
It's France and Disney has been doing this animated series where they film some live action stuff around a pasture. With some cows occasionally and trees, but the slide and that ran around like a farmhouse. But they've got these computer animated bugs that they're having these little adventures.
Oh, really?
There's no dialogue because bugs don't talk. But some of them are cute. Some of them are hilarious. So the earlier stuff we think is better when we've watched and seen stuff from the first season of it. It was really funny. Some of the later seasons, although the animation got better, they're not as funny. They're just kind of like the story just ends and you're like, really didn't feel like it concluded, but we've been kind of enjoying watching those, that and the Katmai, Alaska Bears.
I've not heard of that.
Minuscule. Yeah. YouTube just randomly suggested it for me. And I watched one. It was this cute little ladybug thing. And, Heather got all hooked into watching him and I started watching him. And so if anything, we've been watching that, but mainly I tell you what I've been playing this week.
What's that?
Okay. So I finally, and it should not have taken me this long, finally finished Final Fantasy V and got my platinum trophy for it.
Oh, there you go.
And I wanted to take a break because next on my agenda is Final Fantasy VI, and I have started it. But they did the remaster of Star Wars Dark Forces. And now when I purchased it for PS5, I also got it for PS4. The fun part is the trophies are completely separate. Like some of my PS4 games, when I had an updated to PS5, when I crossed over the save files, it unlocked all the trophies for me on a PS5. I had a couple games like that, but other ones that made me play through the game twice, like Control. I had to play through it a second time on PS5, which I didn't mind doing. Control is a great game. It was fun. But Dark Forces was like that, where I got to play it on both systems and finish it as long as you don't, because you can put in the old cheat codes, but if you use it when you're playing a level, you will not get the achievements for doing anything in that level. So I had to do it straight and clean, but I've got a platinum trophy now for both the PS4 and PS5 versions of the old classic game, Star Wars Dark Forces. And I love that it's they didn't really change much. They just pretty much brought the game back out as it was, cleaned it up, made it look good. But even the music is the same old MIDI music from the original game from like the mid-90s.
On a lot of games, I've been too lazy to unlock like trophies unless... When you find out you can't, like on wrestling games, I usually play WWE.
Yeah, you mainly just play wrestling. You don't play a lot of this other stuff.
I play some others, but very rarely. I still play Indiana Jones. I need to play more of that. But
I got my platinum on that one, too.
The problem I have, though, like I was talking about the wrestling game, and that's not the only one that this is true with, because you do a Spider-Man and others, too. But if you don't unlock certain things, you don't get all the characters or, in this case, outfits for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, no. I'm unlocking, you know, the different Hulk Hogan's and because it's an actual different character.
Right.
You get the 80s Hogan and you get Macho Man and others. And there's no way I'm going to play because I'm an 80s guy. You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm in my 80s. No, but there's a lot of characters you actually have to play through to unlock.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. You call this a cheat if you want. But every year I start off on normal, not easy, but normal. However, when I'm having to unlock stuff, I do sometimes put on easy because some of that stuff for me is not that easy to do. But also when they're like stupid things to me, like, OK, but right in the middle of the match, you have to undo this and jump three times. And
games are supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes playing it on easy or casual is more fun that way. So you can just kind of get through. And at our age, we had to play all the games hard when we were kids on the Nintendo. You know, we had to do it then. But now we can do it whatever way.
I usually put it on hard. Or difficult.
Yeah, well, the wrestling game is where you get a challenge itself, putting it on hard.
But not when you're trying to unlock stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, we're going to put it on easy and then I'll put it on hard later.
I paid for Hulk Hogan. I paid for Macho. Give him to me.
Yeah. Give me my stuff.
I want Iron Sheik. You know?
Yep. Okay. Well, we need to move on to the actual topical stuff because you know, we can linger too long on that.
Yeah.
I do run a real quick mention Dubby. If you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, which by the way, you heard now, we have the new Neverland Podcast Network found at NeverlandPodcast.com. So you can find links to all of our shows, including sermons from the Moment of Truth Bible Baptist Church. That way you get spiritual insights from all of our shows and especially that one. Definitely go over there and check it out. But also you'll find on there a big logo for Dubby. W.gg, use the discount code Neverland. And if you want to play games, you need some energy, but you want healthy energy and you don't want the jitters, they have all kinds of different options for you, different flavors from Dubby. You mix it with some water. You can even get some bottles if you want to, and you get something healthy to drink to give you energy without getting the jitters. That is at Dubby. But okay, now it is time to ask Philip some Superman trivia. Before I do that, I almost forgot. Jim Shooter passed away. And so before we leap into Krypton and the Man of Steel, we pay homage to the late Jim Shooter, who passed away June 30th, 2025, at the age of 73. Shooter began writing at DC at just 14.
Wow.
Crafting stories for Superboy, Supergirl, and the Legion of Superheroes. By 1978, at just 26, he became Marvel's editor-in-chief, reviving the company with strict editorial rigor, groundbreaking crossovers like The Secret Wars. He wrote The Secret Wars.
Oh, that's amazing.
And championing creators through royalties. He steered landmark runs, Frank Miller's Daredevil, John Byrne's Fantastic Four, Claremont's X-Men. Didn't John Byrne also do a good run on Batman, I think, as well? Anyways, his floor management style was polarizing. I was even watching a video where some guy said that, but you know, this is like a year before he's passed away. He recently said, like, Jim Shooter was a jerk, but boy, could he write. And after Marvel, he founded Valiant Comics, introducing characters like Exo, Man of War, Solar, Harbinger, and continuing innovation until his death. And I think Valiant Comics is also where the Men in Black came from. And then they became a Marvel property. Surprise,
y'all. You're talking about Men in Black? I thought that was Dark Horse, but...
Dark Horse is a different company.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's kind of surprising, yeah. There were some other characters. I remember reading in a waiting room once. It was a comic that was a Valiant comic that I think the characters disappeared. But so many in the industry, from Paul Levitz to Bill Sienkiewicz, called him a visionary who reshaped superhero storytelling. Jim Shooter was often a force of tension, but no one can doubt his legacy. A teenage prodigy who helped define the modern comic book era. And today, we thank him for shaping the stories and heroes we still love. So, they had some discussion questions. I get some assistance on writing up some stuff to make things a bit more coherent. But they had a good question that I thought that I could bring up. It's like, how did crossovers and creator royalties shape modern comics? So, you know, when we have stuff like Secret Wars, where you crossed over like all these different characters, and now it's kind of a regular thing where you can cross over characters, and occasionally we even get crossovers between two companies and get some fantastic stories. So, I mean, that's how I'd say things have shaped up, is like now you can, you, and it got to be too much as I was slowly fading out and getting comics, is like they would have a huge crossover event like Civil War, for example, that you had to buy issues all over the place, which DC was already notorious for when you had the Crisis on Infinite Earths, where you had to buy so many issues. I'm like, I ain't got the money for this, you know, so you can't keep up. So, I mean, it's as much fun as it can be to see some of your favorite Marvel heroes all teaming together because of some massive thing, which we get to see some films do, which is fun. But trying to follow that storyline for 3 months of buying, you know, 10 issues of something every week, it gets expensive.
Well, Secret Wars is one of the movies that's going to be coming out.
Yeah. And, I don't know if it's going to live up to, well, it's, I think it's going to be a series more than it will be a movie. But well, I don't think it's quite going to live up to what, it's not going to be the, like what we see in the comic. It looks like they're going a different way.
But it depends on how many movies it takes to get to that.
Yeah.
But back then,
we know they are delayed.
So. One of the problems was, of course, when you're younger, time goes a lot slower. But they didn't do it every year. But there was a time in the early millennium that DC was doing a huge thing like that every 2 years, and that's not a joke. Sometimes every year, and
even they did the new 52 a year. Sometimes,
The new 52,
because like the Spider-Verse, there was all be a Spider-Verse thing, and then there'd be a Marvel Universe thing there for a while. I'm like, oh come on, knock it off.
They did the same thing with the new 52, and then a couple years later they redid it again. I'm like, oh, it's enough for it.
New 52.
I got done with the new 52. Honestly, that's what kind of got me out of it.
Yeah,
but you know.
I got out because the only thing I was buying anymore was Spider-Man, and they keep ruining his life. So I got tired of it. So I saved my money, and I buy more expensive things like video games and Aerith figures.
Well, because just not even 10 years, maybe it might have been 5 years before the new 52. I could be wrong, because I think it was like 2007 or whatever. They had already done a big change about thing, and then another change about thing. They did the whole Lantern War thing.
Yeah.
You know,
they had all the different colors of lanterns.
Yeah, the
I got some of that.
That was a huge universal thing. And then they, it's like, never mind.
So then they did Flashpoint, and Flashpoint's what triggered the new 52.
That was, it was like, enough.
Enough already. Okay, but it's time finally to quiz you.
Okay.
I said, don't look over the computer, because you can't look at the answers, but I bet you're going to know some of these. So round one, the basics. What was the name of Superman's biological father?
Jor-El.
Now, I told you these ones
are
pretty easy. Which comic book featured Superman's first appearance?
That was Action Comics. Number one.
You know what year?
Yes, 1938.
Boom! Yeah. Nailed it. What is the name
of... June was the issue, but technically it came out in around April or May.
Well, okay. What is the name of Superman's home planet?
Krypton.
Who are Superman's adoptive parents in Kansas?
That's Jonathan and... hang on here.
Why did you say that name?
Yeah, Joshua and Martha Clark Kent, actually.
Yeah, that's Clark, right, because it's her middle name. Clark Kent.
That's her maiden name.
Her maiden name, yeah. I remember, don't they even use it in the movie? They call her that when she starts.
I think it was one of them. He goes, Martha Clark Kent, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And that's Superman in the movie.
Yep, when she goes again. Yeah. Well, he doesn't have any parents. Not from around here, at least.
She's so sweet. I love that character.
Yeah. What is Superman's middle name in most continuities?
You
actually said it a little bit ago. Instead of Jonathan, you accidentally did say this other name. So I think you know this.
Let's see here. Are you talking about Superman's middle name?
Yeah, Superman's middle name. Clark. In most continuities, it says here with them trivia
Clark
questions.
Clark Jonathan, I don't know.
You're so close.
Joshua? I don't know.
No.
Clark Jonathan. Tell me, I don't know.
Joseph.
Joseph, really?
Yeah.
See, I
didn't know that Clark had a middle name.
I've only heard it once, maybe, if that. I remember it was in an issue one time, but or maybe it's one of the books I have, but it's not one that I know very well. I can say that. See, I got one wrong.
They considered that to be basic trivia. That is like deep cut to me. But all right, here's round two. Digging deeper. You've only missed one so far. What is the name of Superman's pet dog?
Well, technically, no, I'm just kidding. It's crypto. I love crypto. Love him.
Yeah, I know. It's a good way to put your money. Okay, never mind.
Hey.
What color is kryptonite that turns Superman evil? This is a big thing. It's
red.
Yes. Which villain debuted first, Lex Luthor or Brainiac? Ooh, got to think about this one.
I'm trying to think. I'm wanting to say Lex, but I might be incorrect on that because...
You might be correct, though.
Yeah, I'll say Lex, but I don't know that I'm right on that.
Lex Luthor was in 1940, Brainiac 1958.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well,
now
there you
go. This should have been in the basic round one. Which newspaper does Clark Kent work for?
Oh, that is, of course, the Daily Bugle. I'm
right there under J. Jonah Jameson.
J. Jonah Jameson, no, Daily Planet. I love it.
Could you imagine if he was working for J. Jonah Jameson, the lectures Jameson would give him?
Oh, man.
Because that's one of the things I do like in the Superman movie when it's like, oh, no, humility, you got lots of that, but you need to get some of that. Yeah. You know, the conversation J. Jonah Jameson would have with Clark.
Yeah, you got loads of that.
He would lose it with Clark.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's great.
Which storyline featured Superman's death in Battle with Doomsday? This is the most obvious title, I swear, ever.
Death of Superman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean. Ooh,
what is the story where Superman died? The death of Superman?
Wasn't that the funeral service of Superman?
Do you remember what year that was?
Yes, that was 1993.
Nope, 1992.
Well, I get confused because
you were close.
I couldn't remember if I was a junior or a senior.
Yeah, I think 93 is when Nightfall ended up happening.
Nightfall with Superman. Or Batman, hello.
Round three, super fan level. What is the name of the Kryptonian villain who led the Phantom Zone criminals in Superman 2?
Zod.
That's General Zod to you.
Excuse me.
It actually literally says that for the answer.
Oh, really? General Zod.
Kneel before Zod.
Kneel before Zod.
In what comic series did Superman famously renounce his U.S. citizenship? That says famously, I would say controversially.
I was going to say, because I don't know of it. I'm not into that.
I actually brought this up in a conversation somebody had on Facebook. And I said, actually, if you go back to this, this is one that's kind of started.
To me, though, he will always be truth, justice in the American way. Thank you very much. Now, when is it? I don't know that one.
That is Action Comics number 900. And this is when they figured, well, Superman's kind of, he's taking care of, he's saving the entire world.
That's
Why is it the American way and not just, and I forgot what they changed it to. I mean. But they changed where he's because he's trying to be more concerned about the entire world and not just. But there's something there. The specific thing is the American way of freedom and rights.
And that's still his home.
Yeah. And that's still his home. And there's ways of America that it's not colonizing to want everybody in the world to have peace, safety and freedom.
Well, just like
that's the American way.
I'm trying to get into all this. But just when John Adams said that and this, by the way, is where people talk about the fact that we're not a Christian nation. It came from this. When he was going to the Tripoli, he was saying that you don't have to be a Christian to be an American, but it doesn't mean that we're not a Christian nation. He was saying that you didn't have to be a Christian to be here, but we were found on Christian principles.
There you go. All right. What was the original name of the character before he became the Superman we know?
Oh, are you talking about the character or when he was first made?
All I have is what was the original name of the character before he became the Superman we know?
He was known as Kal-El. Are we talking about, I mean, I guess Kal-El is what they're going for.
No,
really? Okay.
This is weird. This is this is a bald telepathic villain in a 1933 short story.
He was known as a.
The Superman.
Yeah. He was the Superman.
Is that Siegel and Shuster? Did they come up with that?
Yeah, Siegel and Shuster made I want to say 1934 or 36. I don't remember.
1933.
Okay. Yep. Well, I was close, but no.
It was a short story.
They made a short story.
Yeah.
It didn't fly. Part of the fun.
Literally.
But it didn't fly, and they didn't like, so they reused it later on when it came to creating Superman. They used to use that name because the people didn't like it the first time. So he was kind of a villain. And and by the way, Lex Luthor wasn't bald originally either. He had red hair on top and later on. And his name was just Luthor.
Yeah.
I mean, Luthor. It was
Alexander Luthor.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. All righty. In All-Star Superman, what illness is Superman dying from?
Oh, I don't know if you want to call it sun radiation, but he had too much sun. He went into the sun.
Yeah. Overexposure to solar radiation.
Mm, there you go.
And finally, the last question. What actor wore the Superman suit for a planned but canceled film directed by Tim Burton?
Oh, Nicolas Cage.
Indeedy.
Mr. Kal-El himself, in the sense that he named his son Kal-El.
Right. So that's actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love it. I would have done it.
That is pretty cool.
I planned on doing it, but you know.
All right, I got to back up. My notes are all kind of in different order. Because I had things in kind of just some quick notes, and I said, okay, let's expand on these notes.
As you know, Jeremy, my first vehicle's name was Jor-El.
Right.
My second one was Kal-El. My third one was Kal-El Aswell. Or no, Kal-El 2. And if I ever get another vehicle, what's I plan to do will be Kal-El Aswell.
There you go. Now, here's something that's kind of fun. So David Corenswet, his father, John Corenswet, came from a prominent Jewish family in New Orleans with deep roots in the Jewish community there.
Awesome.
Multiple sources, including BeliefNet, list his faith as Judaism, referencing his Jewish upbringing. We're talking David Corenswet, his faith. He was married in 2023 by both a rabbi and a priest in an interfaith ceremony, also celebrating Jewish traditions like the chuppah and breaking the glass. Community leaders celebrating the casting, calling it a meaningful Jewish Superman moment, acknowledging the character's creation by Jewish writers.
That's right.
And his own heritage.
That's right.
So, Joel Schuster
Joel Siegel.
Little bit of history, though, before we get into the movie. But I always appreciate that, because speaking of the origins of the character, here's actually a quote here. Superman didn't just fall from the sky. He was born from the imagination of two teenage boys in Cleveland, Ohio.
That's right.
Oh, no, that's not. That's just says quote things on there. That's not, I thought it was a quote from one of the kids. But anyways, Jerry Siegel and Joe Schuster I've heard it pronounced so many different ways. They were children of Jewish immigrants growing up during the Great Depression, mm-hmm. inspired by pulp heroes like Doc Savage and John Carter of Mars, and even the biblical tale of Moses. Yeah. They dreamed up a character who stood for truth, justice, and hope in hard times. Their Superman first appeared in Action Comics number 1, as mentioned before, dated June 1938, after years of rejection. They sold the rights to DC for just $130. Yeah. He was Kal-El, a child rocketed from a dying planet, raised by a Kansas couple, and gifted with incredible powers. At first, he couldn't fly. He could only leap tall buildings. He didn't yet have heat vision or ice breath, but what he had was something new. A superhero with a double life, defending the weak, standing against corrupt politicians, and taking on wife beaters and war profiteers.
Right.
That first issue changed comics forever, and it sparked the entire superhero genre. And while Superman would evolve, those core themes, immigrant roots, moral courage, and hidden strength, had defined him ever since.
That's right.
So here's some questions for you. How do you think Superman's immigrant origin shaped his lasting appeal?
For me, I think because everybody in one way or another feels like they don't belong.
Right.
And that it's the heart, meaning what we have inside, that really counts. One thing I was going to say is cool is I want to say it was Jerry Schuster.
Make sure you're facing your microphone.
Oh, I can't remember if it was Jerry or Joel. I can't remember. I think it was Jerry. The father was killed a couple of years in advance from a robber came in and to his door. Anyway, when that happened, that's why believe it or not, Superman, the original Clark Kent, looked similar to him. He had glasses and everything. Mm. He looked similar to him because it was basically his way of wishing he'd go back in time and save his dad.
Aww.
And that just tear your heart out.
Yeah.
But that was what, and I can understand it. But now my father didn't pass away in that sense, but doing anything you want to do to talk to your father again, be with him. And you know what it's like when you've lost a loved one, it doesn't matter if it's your father or not.
Yeah.
When you lost a loved one, you wish you could be with him again.
Well, and when big tragedies happen, you wish that we had a Superman. Like when this flash floods in Texas, if we had Superman, it could have saved everybody.
Exactly.
Or, back when we were in our 20s, when the whole 9/11 2001 thing, we saw the towers fall. We feel like Superman could have saved us. You know,
not that this is Superman, Spider-Man, but there was a Spider-Man scene that was cut out because that summer before that happened,
that trailer had been
2 months.
Yeah.
It was in July when they first showed it. It was Jurassic Park 3. I remember seeing it, and they had that ad. It was the first time they showed it. It showed these robbers coming up, and they were going to go out for the bank that was on the, those two towers.
Yep.
As they're getting away, suddenly you back away. You see that their helicopter gets stuck into a web and it's caught in between the two towers. So they had to take that out. My point is that Spider-Man would have been there at the tower to stop it. He hadn't really been alive. It wasn't make believe. Yeah. And Superman,
would have had a better chance of stopping it.
He would have protected it. But, you know,
trying to look at the fact of like real life when tragedy strikes, there's times I'm like, wow, I wish we had a Superman.
Yeah,
it would have stopped this or been there when something bad's happening.
Tomorrow, I'm going to be preaching about that kind of a thing that the it's going to be called,
of course you say tomorrow and this releases later, but listen for a moment of truth in Bible Baptist
it's
Church
called,
found at neverlandpodcast.com. I will have links actually to
looks like
sermons
a job
there.
For and as it starts somebody. With S, and you'll see because Samson was another one that they based it off of, and they used several things, Hercules, Samson, a few Doc Savage, a few others, and but anyway, so and Moses, the main Moses thing they did was the baby part,
being carted off and the thing. Oh,
and you can see it. I mean, you can see that easily.
Yeah.
In fact, that's why if any of you have ever seen Superman, the movie, that's why they gave that part of the movie, the wonderful Richard Donner. He kind of gave it almost that Ten Commandments, because you got to remember back in the 60s and all, it was a big thing to bring out in late 50s, biblical movies.
Yeah.
And so it gave it almost that biblical type of huge legendary movie feel.
Yeah.
And you got like three types of movies in there. And then the second part of the movie is almost that Norman Rockwellian
type
of feel. And then by the time you get to the movie where he's in the city, it has the old 1940s feeling of comic booky, you know, and I like it. It's fun. It's corny, but it's fun.
We love
Otis Berg.
Otis Berg. Over 85 years, Superman's comic book history has gone through some incredible transformations. In the Golden Age, he was more of a street-level strongman, taking down corrupt businessmen, slumlords, and even wife beaters. Then came the Silver Age, and Superman's universe exploded with imagination. This is when we got Supergirl, the Bottle City of Kandor, Bizarro, Crypto the Superdog, and Brainiac. The tone became lighter and more fantastical.
He was super monkey.
And often more absurd, yes. Remember Superman's rainbow powers?
Yeah.
Oh, my. But the Bronze Age brought more depth, stories that dug into Clark Kent's inner conflict and his relationship with humanity. Krypton wasn't just a dead planet, it was a lost culture, a source of sorrow and purpose. In 1986, after the Crisis on Infinite Earths, DC handed the reins to John Byrne. That's when we just mentioned him earlier.
Yeah.
His Man of Steel reboot stripped down the mythology, making Clark Kent the real identity and Superman the mask. That change still defines how many writers approach the character today. And who could forget 1992's Death of Superman? It was a national news event. Millions of copies were sold, comic shops overflowed, and kids everywhere suddenly knew the name Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
And the decade since, we've seen Superman split in two with Superman Red and Blue, rebooted in the New 52, reborn with Rebirth, and beautifully reimagined in All-Star Superman by Grant Morrison and Frank Quietly. Each era reflects the questions of its time, and Superman keeps it acting. So which era of Superman shaped your view of him?
Personally, I've gone through many of them. I will always go back to the original.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying the original 1930s or 40s, you know, technically 40s, but that basic original, some people say, aw shucks, almost mocking when they say it. Mm-hmm. But to me, that original do good no matter what, that kind of Superman.
Yeah, and that's
golden age
in with that Silver Age even too.
Yeah, the same, those two together.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, which that Christopher Reeve one I think is definitely based more on that.
Yeah, the
that
gold silver, and silver age. Yeah, they put it right in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
A little bit of gold with silver together. I think it's just perfect. He did perfect job. You know, I'm not trying to mock for anybody, but some people nowadays, they almost can't stand good. Like, I had someone say, he's just too good. He's too good.
They don't like the Boy Scout anymore. They want the Henry Cavill, Zack Snyder, dark Superman.
Yeah, but that wasn't Superman.
It really wasn't.
It wasn't at all. And,
how many of you are mad?
Some people don't know this, but, what's the guy who, Chris, Nolan, he did not want a lot of that dark stuff that was put in that movie. He kept telling him, no, that wasn't the original stuff he wrote. He did not write the neck cracking of Zod and all that stuff. He didn't like that because that kind of changes almost everything that's
really
about, which honestly, I didn't like that movie. I watched it the other day. I fell asleep, but that wasn't because of the film. I was tired. But the truth is, the little parts I saw, I was like, man, I forgot why I don't like this movie. Now I remember. Don't like it.
That's why, though, I actually still do like Superman Returns.
Yeah.
I actually like that. It wasn't that bad of a movie.
Now, what I said, it has nothing to do with Henry Cavill.
I think he could have been a great Superman if they would have given him the right script.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
I mean, he had a good look for it and everything.
I couldn't stand the Lex Luthor that he had in the Batman versus Superman.
Oh, golly.
Oh, that was horrible.
Okay, let's set about that. Speaking of Superman and film and TV.
Yes.
So Superman didn't just change comics. He helped define what a superhero could be on screen.
There you go.
The 1940s Fleischer cartoons still hold up today.
Yes.
With rotoscoped animation and cinematic flair, they gave Superman his iconic flying ability for the first time. Before that, he could only leap over tall buildings.
And they started
making
a cartoon, but the animator said, because I have interviews and stuff on this, they said that it was hard to do because, you know, how do you make the guy leap again and again? So finally, can we see him leap in one frame,
land in another frame? It's like,
can we just make him fly? And so they said, okay, talking about DC Comics, which it wasn't called that exactly yet then.
Yeah, they might have still been Action Comics. Yeah, I think Action Comics was the company for a while.
DC was the initials of the jerk who was in charge at the time, who basically ripped the boys out of their money.
$130.
I can't think of his name, but he was dirty, let's say. I don't want to say all the stuff he was involved in, but all that being
dirty
said,
Dirty Creep, that's what DC stands for, Dirty Creep.
Yeah, he was. But later on, DC was kind of changed into the whole detective comic, so that's a good
thing. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But either way.
Yeah. All right, so then in the 1950s, George Reeves brought Superman to live-action TV in The Adventures of Superman. It was campy by today's standards, but kids loved it.
I have every episode. I love it.
Reeves made Superman feel strong, calm, and deeply moral. And I've gotten to see the clip. I do love it, where they're shooting at him. They run out of bullets. They throw the guns, and he ducks. I have seen that clip. It is hilarious.
I love it. I love that guy, though. You know, he was great.
But then came 1978, the year Superman the movie changed everything.
That's right.
Christopher Reeve's performance is still the gold standard.
Yeah.
Confident, kind, and dual layered. The tagline said it all. You'll believe a man can fly. Directed by Richard Donner, with a serious tone and John Williams' soaring score, this film treated Superman with reverence. It was a blockbuster before the word even existed. No, it existed. This one's got it wrong. Blockbuster came from Jaws.
That's right.
Unfortunately, the sequels got progressively worse. Superman 3 and 4 became parodies of themselves.
Although
3 is still watchable.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's still watchable. You got to take it as a comedy.
I can't hardly watch it, but
it's got some neat ideas with him being split and we have an evil Superman for a little while. Because that's the closest we got to really having Bizarro. It's also the first we got to have a Brainiac.
Yeah. There's a few things that the original ideas were great. And if they hadn't gotten rid of Donner, the producers who I don't
know. Yeah, if the Salkinds hadn't messed everything up.
Salkinds were jerks.
Yeah.
They just watch Supergirl, you know what I mean? But no, Richard Donner
was
the best part of all of it. Richard Donner was amazing. I love that guy. He was so confident.
Lethal Weapon, man.
He walked around wearing a Superman outfit in Hollywood looking for his actors and all. And with a cape and everything, he did not care what people said because he wanted to show that he was into it. And if he could do it, anyone else could do it.
Yeah.
And they were throwing people in like Burt Reynolds and all that. They wanted him, but he thought, and this is what I liked. He said, the problem with that is if you have an actor who's already well known, people will see the actor, not the character. So he wanted to find someone. He decided to basically do what they did with Jaws and get an unknown and let them basically become stars. But the great thing about that is it's kind of like with Star Wars, you get kind of unknowns and get a couple stars around them. That's what they did.
Yeah.
And Gene Hackman, for some reason, had a mustache and he did not ever want to get it. Wanted that to be his calling card type of thing. So what he did, this was brilliant. Richard Donner went in there with the mustache. He says, if you shave yours, I'll shave mine. So Gene agreed to it. And whenever he shaved his mustache, he goes, remember what you said? So Richard Donner suddenly reaches up to his mustache and pulls it right off because it was a fake the whole time. Gene says, I'll always love him for that.
My goodness. In 2006, Brandon Routh took the cape in Superman Returns, a direct sequel to the Donner films, specifically to Superman 2.
That's right.
I saw some people complain. It's like, where did he suddenly get a kid? Did you not see Superman 2? Have you not paid attention to what was going on?
So
it had heart, but it didn't find an audience.
Yeah.
Then came Henry Cavill's darker take in Man of Steel in 2013, part of Zack Snyder's DCEU. While some appreciated the realism and epic scale, others felt it strayed too far from Superman's hopeful spirit.
Yes.
And now, in 2025, James Gunn's Superman is set to redefine the icon for a new generation. And it says more on that for in a bit. But no, let's get straight into it. I mean, I do want to go and mention, okay, and I'm glad this was brought up. So, okay, so this is some fun information. So let's talk about one of the weirdest Superman gadgets ever, the hypno glasses.
Yes.
All right. So you probably know that Superman's disguise has always been a little flimsy. I think we made fun of it even when we did our fan film Supers.
Oh, we did.
Clark Kent puts on some glasses and suddenly no one recognizes him. But because of that, anytime I take my glasses off, I feel like I have to do it dramatically. But in 1978 Superman, the movie, the filmmakers had a clever, if slightly ridiculous, solution. A deleted scene, never included in the theatrical cut, introduced the idea that Clark's glasses contained low-level hypnotic lenses. These hypno glasses subtly that's a big word, manipulated how others perceived him. So when people saw Clark Kent, they didn't see a man in glasses. They saw someone slightly hunched, soft-spoken, and a little clumsy, not Superman. The glasses helped finish the illusion. This concept actually made its way into comics and TV later on. Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, referenced a similar idea, and Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman leaned into the theory that Clark's entire physicality changed, his posture, voice, even muscle tension, so no one would suspect a thing. It's a wild idea, but it makes you think. Is Superman's disguise more than meets the eye, or is it part of the myth we all agree to play along with? And that's one of the things I really did not like about Man of Steel, is that he shows up as Clark before, you know, he's not wearing the glasses at all. I mean, he's just like, how are people not picking up on it? It just didn't make sense. And he decided, oh, I guess I need a disguise at the end of the movie, and then had glasses.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Yeah, it was really bad. All righty, so as we get into talking about the new 2025 James Gunn Superman, as it's putting it, so James Gunn is the co-head of DC Studios, and he's rebooted the character, launching a brand new continuity called Chapter One, Gods and Monsters, which I think he's going on how Marvel got phase this and phase whatever. So Gunn's take on Superman is focused on hope, kindness, and moral clarity, something he says has been missing from recent interpretations. This Superman is younger, already active in the world, and balancing his Kryptonian heritage with his human upbringing. It stars David Corenswet, who not only looks like a young Christopher Reeve, but also brings something fresh to the role. Interestingly, Corenswet is the first Jewish actor to portray Superman in a live action, and meaningful nod to the character's creators, Siegel and Shuster, who themselves were, of course, Jewish. Lois Lane is played by Rachel Brosnahan, known for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Early photos show a return to the classic looks, bright costumes, Metropolis cityscapes, and the Daily Planet newsroom. Gunn says he's drawing inspiration from All-Star Superman and Superman for All Seasons, which should mean emotional storytelling with mythic resonance, not just big action scenes. And perhaps best of all, practical effects are back. Gunn's team is using physical sets, real costumes, and only sparing CGI. That alone has fans optimistic. Now, obviously, we'll be giving our review after seeing the film, and we have. So here we go. Let's get into it. So I got to bring up the ridiculous controversy of people, because James Gunn was talking about some other things, and he said the word immigrant, and he was talking about some fans that when we were seeing Superman, you know, David Corenswet dressed as Superman interacting with kids, and people try to poo-poo all over that. And he said, screw those guys, because he's like, I'm making a film that's supposed to be hopeful and positive and everything and should be unifying. And anyone who wants to have this dark negative thing, basically, he was saying, screw those guys. But everybody wanted to jump on that. And then when even Dean Cain says, well, because all the rage baiters, all your clickbaiters, I'm against you. Especially, I hate rage baiting anyway. But all of you who just wanted to get clicks, but I wanted to diss on this thing before it even came out without actually reading what James Gunn said. And then it scared Dean Cain. Dean Cain says, I'm worried that it might be. He got taken out of context by the left-hand rage baiters, clickbaiters. Yeah. I am so sick of that crap. So I'm starting to wonder how many movies did I miss out, but I try to avoid rage bait.
Yeah.
I judge a lot based on what I'll see in the trailers, or if I actually see the clip or whatever. And they're like, okay, no, I don't want to watch that. Kind of like Fantastic Four, but I've seen the trailers. So it's getting me off of that.
Unfortunately,
one.
No matter what your political stance or anything else, you can say hi and people think you're talking about being on drugs. I mean, you can say anything. People can take it out of context. We don't want that.
Yeah. And I now have in my hands my David Corenswet style Superman Deluxe Theatrical Edition. Now, I know some collectors, you're going to like, no, never open the box. But these ones that are in these boxes, I like to take them out. I have a Christopher Reeve. I have an Adam West. I have a Michael Keaton. I even have one that's based off one of the old Batman toys. So if I liked the movie, I was going to open the package and pose them with the others. Listen to this sound here. That's me knifing open the tape. I flipping loved this movie.
Yeah,
this was the Superman that I felt like we grew up with a little bit. It was kind of that. It was he valued all life. He even saves a squirrel, for crying out loud. I'm going to be careful I don't spoil anything. But I and my wife sitting next to me, who's the animal nut, she loved that he saved that squirrel.
I knew that she would.
But he valued life. He doesn't. And that's the Superman we needed. That's the Superman I love, where people have been like liking to share with the part in a comic where there's like this goth, really depressed looking girl standing on top of a building about to jump. And then suddenly Superman's behind her and like, no. But he talks her down. And I love, I hope this isn't spoiling. At one point, when he's about to have to fight some villains, he says, look, you don't have to listen to Luther. This is, you can do something different. Because I've seen Superman do that in comics.
Yeah, he does.
He tries to talk to you. It's like, hey, you don't have to do this.
I realize that I'm old school. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I personally, people say, oh, there's someone's too good. You can never be too good.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, I'm a pastor. OK, I'm a man of God and I'm not good. Nobody is all good.
Yeah.
The Bible says Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. For Romans 3, verse 23,
for all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God.
I'm simply saying none of us are good enough. We cannot be too good. We should always do our best to try to do the best you can do.
And that was the Superman we got in this movie.
That's what I wanted. Because
even at one point, I don't want to spoil anything, but he talks about, you know, I mess up sometimes.
Yeah, well,
everybody
does. But
he keeps trying to do good. And it's like at one point, and you've seen this in a trailer, he's like, he's got to justify some of his actions, say, hey, people were going to die.
Yeah.
And that's what he's concerned about. People were going to die, and he doesn't want it to happen. And you know what this reminded me of? Some of the story here is he does something because he wants to stop a war.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, social media, everybody's like, oh, and media and social media and the news media came against him for wanting to just not have a war, not letting a war fight. And you know what? Who that reminded me of? Trump, when he was says, like, he just wants this Ukraine war just to end. He wants to save lives.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to get political, but I was thought of what Trump had said that, and the media has destroyed him. Social media came after him like, oh, we're supposed to say we're okay.
Even without war. Social
and
media.
And Trump says, no, we don't want war. People die in war.
Even without social media, like if you're texting someone and they don't know your tone.
Oh, yes.
Maybe you've never gone through this. I sure have. You say something and you're trying to either be joking, which, by the way, I have to be very careful about joking now, especially being a pastor. You joke about something and people take you serious. And you're like, oh no, no. Especially if they don't know the context or the joking part. Now, someone really, really knows. They usually do know what you mean, but if they don't, I'm very careful not to joke. Which it stinks for me because I like to take things light.
Yeah.
But the other thing is people, and this is about me preaching, I have to be very careful because people love to take things out of context and try to almost incriminate me. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I don't care what they think about me personally. I do care what they think about the Lord. And,
right.
And when you represent the Lord, that's really the way we all are when it comes to, like, your job, too. Like when you're at your job, people say, I don't care what they think. Yeah, but you're representing your workplace right now. So you got to be very careful. You know, that's a hard thing. That's what I liked in this movie was, there's always going to be someone who disagrees with you.
Yep.
But if you go somewhere to save people, there's going to be people who say, you did wrong. Yeah, but you're going to do wrong in somebody's opinion no matter what.
What's you could do the greatest thing. He saved lives and people were going to come against you.
Yeah, so what's the greater good in this situation?
Yes.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
Yeah.
To quote Star Trek.
Yep.
Still true.
And that's kind of an overriding theme is trying to not have this war happen is a major theme of this film. And I saw some parallels. I think some people are going to probably draw parallels like an American ally. There's an American allied nation has mentioned this. I don't want to mention names or anything, but I think some people are going to look at that and say, oh, well, that's like the Jewish people who want to destroy the Pakistinians. And even looking at some of the people of the other countries, like, I bet people are going to try to draw a comparison to that. I don't think that's necessarily intended. I don't think they were trying to make that message to it. But it's also very, very different. You have terrorists on one side. And in this one, we just have a country who they literally have like picks and shovels and an army breaking through their walls. And they call for Superman to help them.
Well,
it was very poignant. But I was afraid some people are going to look at this and say, that's like those poor Pakistani people. No, it is not like
not
the poor Pakistani.
All.
It is not at all like that.
One thing that I did think was dumb, and this wasn't in the movie, this was in interviews. The director's brother, who I like as an actor,
Sean Gunn,
mm-hmm. was basically making some stupid comments, political comments, completely unnecessary. But I thought, guys, you're here to promote a movie. The last thing you need to do is say anything that can be misinterpreted. Because let's be honest, on whatever side you're on, not just politically, but in life, there's always going to be people who can misrepresent it or could take it too far. And so that's all like, just don't say anything. I mean, even Nathan Fillion was like, oh, does someone need a hug? I'm like, dude, don't do that. Don't. You're not the character right now. Yeah. Be calm.
But he was very good as Guy Gardner.
Actually. Oh, he was great.
Because he's Nathan Fillion. We love him anyway.
Oh, I love him. He's great. And plus, he's tried on both Marvel and DC to come up with a character. They've tried and tried. And he kept missing out. So I'm so he was going to be Wonder Man at one time.
That would have been cool.
Oh, no, he would have been great. But I'm glad that he got to be because he's perfect for Guy Gardner. Plus, he was the voice of Hal Jordan on a couple of different animated movies.
Oh, he'd been great as getting to play Hal Jordan.
Oh, he would have been.
But him with Guy Gardner, it's like, you know, it's actually really good.
Oh, because he's cocky.
Yes. And, oh, he played it so well.
The thing is, in the comic book, I won't say I hated Guy Gardner. I disliked him, but yet he was good. He's annoying. But in this, he's so obnoxiously, he's almost a Han Solo type.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's
which
a scoundrel.
He definitely, which guy, I mean, Guy Gardner, hello. Nathan Fillion is definitely Han Solo on Firefly. Oh, yeah. I mean, Firefly.
I need to finish watching that show.
Oh, that's a great show.
Somebody spoiled the ending of the movie for me. And it kind of pulled me off. A podcast.
Oh, those jerks.
That I quit. I turned them off. I've never listened to them again. I don't even remember the name of the podcast.
But
they
the movie
spoiled
anyway.
The whole thing. I was like, hey, there's people still that are finally getting a first chance to actually watch Firefly. They were going to watch Serenity later. And now I know, you know, the ending. And I'm like, oh, it made me not want to watch.
Anyway, I'll let you borrow the comics. It's good.
Oh, hey, comics even.
Yeah, but yeah, it's in between. It's in between the show and the movie. So it sets that way that he could, Jaws could answer some questions from the TV show that he didn't get to do in the movie. So you get it all together.
Overall, the direction and writing is very James Gunn, though, of this movie. It definitely had his style.
Oh, yeah.
I would use some John Williams music.
Yes.
The score actually was very good.
Yes.
Everybody who was playing the character actually was very, very good for their characters.
Oh, perfect
for it. David Corenswet gave us a slightly different Superman. He had that Boy Scout nobility, but it was a lot more emotional, I think, than Christopher Reeve was. Christopher Reeve was almost not quite stoic. But he held it in
most of the time.
It was subtle with his emotional thing until that great moment when Lois is dead and he turns. Whoa! I love that moment. But he had a bit more. He would get angry because at one point, let's just say he's very mad at Lex Luthor at one scene because of something that's happened.
It's
a little scary.
What's his name? Nate. I can't think of the name of the guy.
Nathan Fillion.
No, the guy who plays Lex.
That's not even listed on the thing. He was great as Lex.
Oh, he's so perfect. He was, and I heard this time, I couldn't quite tell the first time what he said. I won't say it out loud on this because I don't want to ruin anything.
Yeah.
He whispers something in a coffee mug.
Yeah, but I didn't quite catch it.
I caught what it was this time because I
figured it was something he knew Superman would hear and he was provoking him.
My big ears, not that big, but, you know, a little bit. I took a little after my day. Anyway, I was listening super close. I was like, am I going to be able to understand? Because I've listened to it over and over and over again on previews and on things, trying to hear it. And this time I caught on to what he's saying.
Well, they did kind of joke on it. Did you see the... How it should have ended? They've done a little thing of I think it was them that did a little cartoon and they kind of goofed on a little bit of this scene of happening and they kind of played with it and basically there was a mixture of different blockbuster films expected here in the next months, including Jurassic World Rebirth and all that other stuff, and they were kind of doing a joke on everything and they kind of played a little bit on that scene and had Lex actually say something quietly into a coffee cup. So I kind of recognize that's what they were making the
Nicholas
joke
Holt
of. Yes. Oh, and he's very good.
Oh, he was really good.
So overall, I really like the cast. It's very much a James Gunn movie where it's got a bit of humor, but it's very much Boy Scouty Superman who's trying to do the right thing, who's getting criticized. And when we find out some of the reasons behind the criticism, it's just amazing as things kind of fall together. You see what's really going on. It's great. And it introduced some characters to me that I wasn't familiar with. I think the engineer is what would be recognizable.
She's pretty awesome. And I don't know if they're going to do it. I know originally we're going to do it, but they were going to give oh, I can't remember the name of the team right now that the engineers are part of. I know someone's probably yelling at me right now, but they're talking about doing that movie, but it was kind of put on hold. So I hope they end up doing it because I like to see. She was really good. Now, the interviews with her and the girl who played Eve Tesmacher, they were so cute. And I'm not talking physically, though they are attractive. But I'm talking about they seem like such sweet people. It was just funny because the characters are not. So you know they had to really be acting a lot because they just seemed like, I don't know, they remind me of my nieces and stuff, but they just acted so sweet in all in the interviews. And I love that. I love seeing all the actors getting interviewed.
I really like the angle of her Eve Tesmacher.
Yes.
That she's kind of, because she's supposed to be beautiful, in the movies, that's the thing, where she's trying to be like an influencer, but you find out she's not as dumb as she seems.
Yeah, she's not brilliant, not dumb.
I'm not going to say any more than that, but she does play a pretty good part in this.
And she does remind me just a little bit of the, I don't remember the original actress's name, but I loved her. But she does remind me just a little bit of her, the way she talks, at least, a little bit.
And there is an Otis, and we looked in the credits. His name is Otis Berg.
I thought that was great. Otis Berg.
And even surprisingly, Alan Tudyk. I didn't realize he was in it. He is robot number 4.
The main robot, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Alan Tudyk. And they had
a couple other actors. I
recognize Perry White, but I can't think of where I've seen him.
They had a few others in there and doing voices, and I couldn't believe it when they had different actors come in and do voices for the robots. I thought that's pretty cool. And even Christopher Reeve, his son,
as a reporter.
Yeah, it was a reporter on the television when they was talking about. I want to say when it was stuff about Superman. That's all I'll say right now. Yeah. I don't want to read anything, but. But I saw him, and the only difference between him and his father is he doesn't have blue eyes. He has the eyes like his mom, brown. But he was just a little boy when his dad died, and then just a couple years later, his mom passed away.
Yeah.
And so he lived with his grandparents, I believe it was, her parents. But he has a brother and sister from Chris Reeve's first marriage. So at least he has some family that is still. But it was nice that he's got to be in the movie.
Yeah. But overall, I highly recommend this.
Yes, I loved it.
Ignore the clickbait, the rage bait, and shame on you, all of you who are rage baiting, clickbaiting, and trying to just get clicks and build clout by trying to find things to diss on this movie. There's nothing to diss on it. It's fun. It's popcorn. It's comic book. Comic book Superman.
This is the first one. Now, I will say this.
And yet we still feel like he's the Christopher Reeve Superman a little bit.
This is my second favorite Superman movie. My first one is Superman the movie.
Yeah.
Because that's what I grew up on. But not just that, is I was getting ready to say it's the first one that feels like the comic book. Well, I should say this. The Christopher Reeve movies felt like the comic book of then.
Right.
This feels like the comic books of since then. The 80s and beyond.
And even because I loved Mr. Terrific. I was familiar with him from Arrow.
Yes.
He is so cool, though.
He was amazing.
He was so cool.
Come on, man.
I wish we could have done more with Hot Girl, because I liked Hot Girl in the Justice League. She was good for what she got to do, but I felt like she didn't get to be in there as much as I wanted. I like Hot Girl.
Hot Girl, and I have to say it real clearly, because if you don't say Hot Girl just right, it sounds like you're saying Hot Girl. What's, you know.
Well, she was pretty. She's pretty.
But she's also very small.
I would like
for
her to have been a redhead. You know, I like
they got her and Green Guy Gardner. Guy Gardner.
They just call him Green Lantern in this, which is kind of cool.
They're both going to be showing up in Peacemaker and in a couple other films.
I didn't realize Peacemaker was part of the James Gunn reboot and things
he did the show. But here's what's really weird about the show. That and also The Suicide Squad was really funny. Here's the funny thing about that. They're both not canon, but yet they kind of are. He's taking little things out of those and putting them in here. For instance, I guess you could say, spoiler alert, in The Suicide Squad, what's the name of the guy we just mentioned while goes to
Peacemaker? I'm trying to be careful here. No, I think we've already said too much.
The guy who I can't think of the names of the dude, but anyway,
John Cena.
No, one of the guys who's in charge of the Suicide Squad. He dies in the film, and so his father,
Amanda Waller.
No, yeah, his father is then now in charge and is in this movie, the character's father, and so he has a real axe to grind with. A Peacemaker. So that character is also, if you've seen it, it's ornery, but it's also in that show for the monsters, whatever that's called.
He's Creature Commandos.
Creature Commandos. He's in that too. The only difference is he has,
I might have to check that one out.
Yeah, he's got gray hair, but that's the first official.
I didn't even know that was a thing with DC.
Yeah, it's the first official DCU show.
Okay,
but it's good. But I'll warn you, it does have adult stuff.
Oh yeah.
And so is Peacemaker. But yeah,
so I haven't really, plus I don't like John Cena anyway.
But it's the new Peacemaker is definitely canon. The new Peacemaker season.
Yeah. So all right, but we're getting to an hour, so it's about time we wrap this up. Overall, okay. We were recommending this. Yes, don't listen to the clickbait rage baiters. Go to the cinemas and have fun. Let go of any concept of like a dark Superman and just remember, hey, Superman's supposed to be about hope and positivity. He's a Boy Scout. And enjoy it. Those of you that grew up with Christopher Reeve, you're going to love this. Oh, the kids, I think, will love this. We had so much fun. I want to go again. Sure you stay till the very end credits for little bits of fun. Mm-hmm. At about halfway through the credits or something, it's just cute.
And I love Crypto.
And then at the end. And yeah, Crypto was entertaining. Oh. Some people say Crypto steals the movie.
Oh, but he's great.
It definitely gets a recommendation. But I better wrap things up here. So I want to remind you all about Podgagement. Podgagement, when you find it right there on neverlandpodcast.com. That is Daniel J. Lewis, award-winning podcaster, I must say. Daniel J. Lewis, his little program, I should say. It is amazing all the things that you can do with an account with Podgagement to boost your podcast. Go and check it out. He's got lots of different plans to fit your budget. Check it out. We want to, of course, make sure you thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhide of the Will Hyde and Wall Show. They helped me out with the introduction. Don't forget you can email us, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Find us on X.com, Neverland PCast. We have both a Facebook like page and a group. Of course, the Fandom Nexus you can find over under on Facebook. And if you search for Neverland Podcast in the groups, you'll probably find us that way. You can join the Neverlanders on our website. You can become an official Lost Boy or Pixie. Why do we have Pixies? Because girls are too clever. They don't get lost. Don't forget, you can donate through our Patreon at patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. You can find that, of course, those links at neverlandpodcast.com. Also, you've downloaded probably this through Red Circle and the show notes. If you want to get an exclusive feed on Red Circle, this is also what you get on Patreon. You don't get the ads, the beginning, end, and middle of the show. So nothing will interrupt your flow as it goes through, right? So no ads, and you help out to keep the show going when you do that. You get your own RSS feed right there. No copyright infringement is intended, and copyright is held by the respective owners. Content is shared for review and commentary purpose under fair use license. And now, get lost. In an adventure!
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.